minus 10 seconds. The countdown will come directly from the timing and firing trailer.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Quantel, opt in, opt in. Go tape.
This is Publius bringing you a step farther out. Your weekly radio message from the Man and Atom Society.
Greetings and salutations to all you listening out there in a non-radio land. From Munich, capital of the Free State of Bavaria in southern Germany, on this lovely 4th day of May in the glorious future year of 2024, at the hour of 19 Universal Coordinated Time. Now, let's see, what do I have to talk to you about today? Well, the first thing, I'm going to spend just a moment talking about my other show, letting you know, first and foremost, that I didn't do a show this past Friday because I was having a massage, which tends to interfere with that kind of thing. And I won't be doing a show this coming Tuesday because, heaven help me, I will be in an aeroplane somewhere between Paris and DFW. Which is a great deal less pleasant than the massage, I have to tell you. In fact, it has roughly the opposite effect. You know, the massage releases tension that you have, the aeroplane ride increases it. Now, these last couple of shows, I've been reading you out of The Sunless City by J.E. Preston Muddock. A book which was sent to me by SDFer Some Dude, because Some Dude is in Flin Flon, Manitoba, and Flin Flon, Manitoba is named for this book, you see. The whole circle closes. Anyway, but I intend to leave that book here, and so I will get back to it when I am in Munich again, which, in the current state of planning, will be in August. In other words, my hope is to attend the North American Science Fiction Convention in Buffalo. Then it's 2 weeks until the Worldcon. And so my immediate thought was to go from Buffalo into Canada, maybe visit a couple of friends that I have there, maybe visit the Bruce Nuclear Power Station, which does tours during the summer, maybe, apparently there is a visitor center at Pickering. Anon DJ Snowdusk knows all about Pickering, and I would like to visit there. I'm told by a gentleman who works there that it's not very impressive, but not very impressive is a long sight more than what most U.S. nuclear power plants have, which is a visitor center that's no longer open to the public. As I've said many times, public acceptance is the single biggest thing that stands in the way of the success of nuclear energy. And so, it is incumbent on the plant owners to do outreach activities. And they don't. They've given up. So, there's that. Apparently, Darlington has an occasional open house, and that would be really nifty. I'm told they have a full-size model of the reactor, which is pretty nifty. At the Bruce Visitor Center, they have a smaller scale model. If you've seen my photographs of it, they have a smaller scale model, and they also have a various full-size components, pressure tube end fittings and that kind of thing. But in fact, let me drop a link in com to my photographs of Bruce. Let's see if I've got a good one here. Gosh. Oh yeah, there's a good one of the model. Copy link. There we go. So there's a link in COM for those who might be interested. sdf.org/l/1tb. That's 1 Tango Bravo. sdf.org/lima/1 Tango Bravo. Anyway, so you can look at a photograph, and there's other photographs in the same folder which may also be of interest. Yes. Anyhow, so that was, so that's my thought, is that I will spend a little time in Canada, then cross the Atlantic, spend a few days in here in Munich before heading out to the Worldcon, so that I can essentially leave some things here that don't need to be taken to the convention and pick up some things that are stored here that should be taken to the convention, meaning that I don't have to carry them with me. Right, that I can carry some stuff from Buffalo and then ship it home because there is equivalent stuff here in Munich that I can use. For example, a couple of my special modified, well, they're not really modified, my German payphones that I have set up as information machines. But I've talked to you about that before. Okay, now, so that's sort of my plans going forward as far as that. So yes, in August, September, and October, you will be hearing more of The Sunless City. That is the plan. And then when I get home, you will be hearing, of course, I will finish up Umberto Nobile's My Polar Flights, and we will go back to having the live video readings on Sundays out of that classic Chinese novel, The Water Margin, in Pearl S. Buck's translation. So I think that clears everything up, doesn't it? So yes, let's see. Got to have a mention of thanks here to Neil Mohan, an operator at the Pickering Nuclear Power Station, who sent me $20 by PayPal. Very kind of him. Thank you, Mr. Mohan. Acknowledgement also to new Patreon supporter K Sleet. I will send your welcome packet as soon as I get home so that it comes with the lovely space stickers and the space stamps on the envelope. The space stamps on the envelope, right? Okay. Let's see. Interestingly enough, I had somebody sign up as a patron and then drop again. Comivesors, I don't know, and did the exit survey thing and said that I wasn't active enough, and I'm not really sure what he was expecting me to do that I'm not doing. I don't know if it's a question of I don't post everything that I do on Patreon because I don't like to generate a lot of pointless notification emails. I don't know if I should be, you know, sort of pushing more the things that I am doing. I will say that, you know, it's been a little slow with updates recently, just because I'm still waiting on those graphics from FFOG to finalize, finalize Blast number one. But I have written up some extensive notes for Blast number one, which I have, as I have already mentioned here in this space previously. Yeah. Those notes, by the way, include a supporting calculation to show where I get to the conclusions that I draw. And that includes being very clear about the limitations of those conclusions. In other words, the points where I think that they're not as well supported as they should be. When I get home, I will have access to some more of my reference materials, and I will be able to fill in some of the blanks there. Anyway, other than that, goodness. Other than that, what is there for me to talk about? But, of course, the person who signed up for a couple of months and then quit because I wasn't being interesting enough also opted out of receiving postal mail. And I like to think that the stuff you get by mail from me is one of the better perks of the whole Patreon thing. Maybe I'm wrong. I'd love to have some feedback about that. Anyway, I had been hoping to send some folks some mail from the Czech Republic. I had considered either today or tomorrow taking the train from Munich to a place called Bayerisch Eisenstein, which is on the border between Germany and the Czech Republic, and has the unusual characteristic that the train station is apparently shared between the towns on either side of the border. But there's also a railway museum there. And looking at it, well, I could take a train straight back to Munich, or I could take a train onward to Prague and then a direct train back from Prague to Munich, which would be really kind of fun. But the way I looked at it, it would take a whole day. And if it weren't that I'm getting on the train to go to Paris Monday to catch my flight on Tuesday, I probably would. But the only reason I didn't do it before is that they were working on the tracks, and so there was no train to Bayerisch Eisenstein for some time right up to today. Today was the first day that service was resumed. So it's just bad timing in that respect. But yes, so as far as a day trip to Prague, it would be a truly whirlwind thing. But the other thing I noticed was that much closer to Eisenstein than Prague is Budějovice, which, as I have remarked multiple times, Budějovice is a town where they have fairly recently laid on a district heating fed from the nuclear power plant at Temelin, so I could potentially take a train from there to Budějovice and even see the nuclear power plant, but I'd probably have to do that on a weekday. And you see, the nearest Czech post office to Bayerisch Eisenstein, again, I thought, well, I could go there and, you know, I'd write up some postcards along the way, and then I'd post them to my Patreon supporters from the Czech Republic, which is a place they haven't gotten mail from me before, although one of my supporters is actually in the Czech Republic. Unfortunately, the nearest Czech post office to the Bayerisch Eisenstein railway station is not open on Saturdays. And as you can envision, although the mailbox, presumably I could just shove something in the mailbox and it would be collected, the underlying problem with that is that I don't have any Czech postage stamps. I don't know, it's possible that at the little convenience store, which is in the railway station, it is possible that they sell postage stamps. I don't know. And so I came to the conclusion that it's not, that it wasn't worth spending all of today from quite early in the morning until basically showtime, or possibly after showtime. I might have had to miss the show, which I wouldn't want to do, in order to do that without some certainty. So yes, Tin from Berlin has kindly pasted in an image, a link to a Wikimedia Commons image of the railway station, one end of which is in Germany and the other end in the Czech Republic. You get about midway along the platform, that's the border, which is funny. Anyway, but yeah, so since I don't have any Czech postage stamps, and I don't have any Czech korun, although presumably there are quite a few places where it will just take euros in the Czech Republic, but of course the post office is probably not one of them. Rolly wonders what kind of hotels that I stay in. Of course, here in Munich, I'm staying with friends, right? Although, if I weren't staying with friends here in Munich, I would undoubtedly stay at the Hotel du Train. Yes, that's right, there is a railway-themed hotel in Munich, which is quite amusing. I am, however, planning on taking the train for my return to Paris, not to... how do I say this? Not the direct train to Paris, but rather to stop in Zurich. So I'm thinking that perhaps what I will do, you see, is to make up some postcards and send them to my supporters from Zurich in Switzerland. Wouldn't that be nifty? So yes, if you if you'd like to receive some mail from Switzerland, that's maybe an approach to take. Anyway, but yes, so that's a long-winded sort of a status report, but it comes about largely because I'm just not enthusiastic about traveling by air. But, like I say, I have to go back to the United States at a very minimum so that I can check my post office box. I hope that I shall find it full of letters that I can then respond to and read out during my shows. Wouldn't that be nifty? Anyway, so yeah, what else is there to say? Well, I mean, yeah, again, lots of train service disruptions, even here in Munich. I'm thinking about tomorrow going out to Oberschleißheim, which is where they have Deutsches Museum, of course, the premier scientific technical museum in Germany. Its main office, as it were, is in central Munich on an island in the middle of the Isar River, just outside the Altstadt or Old Town of Munich. What used to be a cavalry barracks. Well, they have a second facility, which is actually a little closer to where I currently am right now. It's in the Bavaria Park, right where the Oktoberfest is held, actually, in a series of halls that were built for a World's Fair type of thing about 120 years ago. But that's the Verkehrszentrum, in other words, the transportation museum. And they have trains, lots and lots of lovely trains, but they also have a whole room which is full of those silly bubble cars from the period just after the Second World War, things that make the Volkswagen Beetle look like a luxury car. There was one of those that was made by Messerschmitt that appeared in cigarette ads, the silk-cut cigarettes in Britain, when they were no longer allowed to actually mentioned that they sold tobacco. They just did a whole bunch of advertisements showing things cutting through cloth, and one of them was somebody wearing one of those First World War style spiked helmets, Pickelhaube helmets, sitting in one of these Messerschmitt bubble cars with the spike on the top of the helmet poking through the roof. So that's not so that's very silly. But yeah, so they have a whole hall which is just full of these stupid bubble cars. And then, let's see, over in one corner also I recall they had a much more substantial car from the 30s which had been fitted with a charcoal burner gas generator so that it could be operated during the Second World War when, of course, fuel was severely rationed. But there were people, doctors and so on, who really needed to drive, or who really wanted to drive cars, who modified their cars to run on producer gas, that when you burn wood in a closed retort with insufficient air, it produces a mixture of carbon monoxide and hydrocarbons and other things, which is burnable. And so you can drive around. It's very messy, and it really is bad for your engine, but it does allow you to drive. Now, I believe that this is the reason why I have noticed in Munich, in parking garages, signs which very clearly state that these spaces are for the use only of gasoline or diesel cars. Now, I don't believe this is an attempt to shut out battery electric cars, partly because these signs are in many cases apparently very old. I believe that this is actually a police regulation from the period when those things were in use. And of course, they're a terrible fire hazard, and they're also a suffocation hazard. But, let's see. So yeah, so there's that. There's the Fourquier's syndrome, which has all kinds of things like that. They've also got simulators where you can drive the simulate driving the Munich S-Bahn suburban trains, whereas of course in the MVG Transit Museum there's a simulator where you can simulate driving the subway, and so there's lots of good stuff like that. But then the Deutsches Museum. They have four, I think, total locations, but one of them is in Bonn, making it completely uninteresting to me. But the third location in the Munich area is at Oberschleißheim, and that's the Aviation Museum, where they've got all kinds of aircraft and so on. Actually, once a year, the Zeppelin Company sends out a Zeppelin, and for a few days they do Zeppelin flights out of Oberschleißheim. And you can buy a ticket, in theory, but they're always sold out way, way, way in advance. Let's see. Rolle speculates on the idea of a nuclear power package reactor, which would run for 20 years without requiring any kind of maintenance, you know, just completely sealed. And I'm thinking, man, I would love to see pretty much any complex piece of machinery that did that. I mean, I suspect you could build a car that would run for 20 years without any maintenance, but it would probably cost $1 million or maybe 10 million. In the same way, you know, yeah, we have built radioisotope power sources for spacecraft. You know, Voyager, right? Contact has been reacquired with Voyager 1. And that's thanks to the plutonium radioisotopic thermoelectric generator, which has just been ticking along forever, right? Since, in fact, not just since it was launched, but since before it was launched, because, of course, it's based on the decay of plutonium-238, which is a process which cannot be influenced at all by human beings. But RTGs are cool that way, but, well, actually, they're hot. The whole point is they're hot. So NASA has just recently announced, in fact, that it's going to go ahead with the plan being for a launch later in this decade with a operations, actually, not landing, I guess is the word, in about 2034 of the Dragonfly probe. The Dragonfly, in case you're wondering what it is the proposed Titan aircraft. In other words, a probe which will be dropped into the atmosphere of Titan and then will fly. I mean, it's actually not intended to stay in the air all the time. It's intended to make a short hop once every Titan day. And a Titan day is about 16 Earth days. And the idea is that will allow them to measure conditions at one point on the surface, then hop to another point on the surface, and so on. So how will this be powered? Well, the short answer is that it will use an RTG similar to those of the Mars Curiosity and Perseverance rovers, and a large battery bank. And so the RTG will continually trickle power into the battery bank, and once it has built up enough power to take off and fly for whatever its distance is, 100 meters, 500 meters, perhaps further than that, you know, their hope is to have it operate for a number of years, over the course of which it will travel hundreds of kilometers all over the surface of Titan. Anyhow, of course, all of this hinges on the availability of plutonium-238 for the RTGs, and that's what I don't know, because the last time that, you know, I mean, when they launched Perseverance, what I understood was that they had used the last of the world's supply of plutonium-238. The problem is that plutonium-238 used to be manufactured as a byproduct of nuclear weapons work. That you start with neptunium-237. Neptunium-237 was recovered during the chemical reprocessing of fuel that was started out as highly enriched uranium, reactor fuel that was highly enriched uranium. Because uranium-235, when it absorbs a neutron, doesn't always fission. Sometimes it produces uranium-236. Uranium-236, in turn, will absorb a neutron and then undergo beta decay to become neptunium-237. Well, if you take that reactor fuel and you separate out chemically the uranium from the fission products, you have an opportunity to repurify it and reuse it. You have an opportunity to also separate out that neptunium. So you can take out the neptunium then, and what was done was that it was fabricated into special targets and loaded into reactors that were used to produce nuclear weapons plutonium at Savannah River and Hanford. And then those special targets were taken and subjected to further, once they absorbed enough neutrons, right? Because the key is you want to absorb enough neutrons to convert a substantial amount of the neptunium-237 into plutonium-238, but you don't want to convert the plutonium-238 into plutonium-239. That's for two reasons. Firstly, plutonium-239 can sustain a nuclear fission chain reaction, and while that's generally a desirable property in a nuclear fuel, you don't want it happening somewhere that you haven't planned for it to happen. And then the second part is that plutonium-239 doesn't generate nearly as much decay heat per gram. And so if you want that high heat-producing characteristic, you want nearly pure 238. So the U.S. used up the last of its existing stocks of 238 years ago, has purchased some from Russia, but much of the stock the Russians have is not pure enough. It's got too much 239 in it to be usable for these purposes. So last I heard, the U.S. had used up basically the whole world supply of plutonium-239 on the Perseverance Mars Science Laboratory rover. Now, that doesn't mean it can't still be made. There have been a lot of discussion over recent years of taking some of the U.S. stock of hundreds of kilograms of neptunium metal and converting it into targets and loading those either into CANDU reactors, because the locations in the Pickering and other CANDUs that are currently used for cobalt absorbers to make cobalt-60 for medical and industrial radioisotope applications can be loaded with neptunium targets to make plutonium-238. The other discussion was to load it into certain specialized research reactors, such as the Oak Ridge High Flux Isotope Reactor. And so if they are specifying, you know, the MMRTG, same model as used on the Curiosity and Perseverance rovers to power this Dragonfly spacecraft, and it's going to launch supposedly by 2027, then clearly they believe that they will have another one fabricated within 3 years. I haven't seen any status reports about that, and I'd be very interested if anyone else has. Anyway, you've been listening to A Step Farther Out on Anon Radio, which is a service of the SDF Public Access Unix System. Please send your cards and letters to Post Office Box 1035, Fort Worth, Texas, 76101, United States of America, and I will read them when I get back to the United States Tuesday or Wednesday. But yes, mission to Titan. Did I not make that clear? A mission to Titan, the big moon of Saturn. Anyhow, there's the patreon.com/man_and_Adam. PayPal.